Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history. We don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chair.
The rednecks to talk about foreign affairs. Laughing so hard that we end up falling out our chairs. Sir Trey, Sir Corey, oh what a pair. High class topics with a redneck flair, oh yeah.
Two rednecks but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. Two rednecks but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. Okay, it's Team Squirrel or Team Trey. Oh yeah, we keeping it basic. He thinks that the squirrels at Corey's mom's house are racist. And you know squirrels live in the same place for generations. So Trey, you better count your days and you better count your blessings. Cause all the squirrels that you ran over, that you think are nameless, faceless, their families are getting together and plotting on you from the attic and basement. So even though Corey is dumb, fat, and bald, he knows how to avoid drama, don't get squirrels involved. Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs.
Y'all, that song will literally never get old to me. Are you ready to tell your special someone what they mean to you, but you can't quite find the words to properly capture your feelings? Forget generic gifts that just create clutter. Let me recommend a gift that's truly as unique as your relationship, a professionally recorded song crafted just for them. Yeah, that's our buddies over at Songfinch. Saying I love you can stir up all types of different feelings in people. Easy for some, nerve-wracking for others, but the perfect gift can say it for you, especially when that gift is truly a one-of-a-kind and uniquely crafted just for them. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, y'all, and flowers ain't cutting it this year. Forget the teddy bear chocolates and perfumes. Just go with Songfinch so you can give the gift of a memory that they will never forget. Songfinch is the ultimate gift to show how much you care. An original studio quality song inspired by your story that's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Songfinch walks you through a simple four-step process. Sincerely, very simple, because again, I'm the one that did this song for us, so, and they nailed it. To create an original song, all you have to do is tell them about what the song is about, who it is, provide some personal details, and let them know the type of song that you want. Then, pick your favorite Songfinch artist, or you can get matched up with one. I picked at random and nailed it, but you can go through several if you want to. And they'll pour their heart into writing, recording, and producing your original song in just 4 to 7 days. We got ours in 3. Special add-ons can help commemorate the occasion even more, like a vinyl recording of your song, one-of-a-kind art crafted from your lyrics, or adding your song to a streaming service so that you can more easily surprise your unsuspecting recipient. Songfinch is the only original music platform that guarantees that you'll love your song or they'll work with you until you do. They stand behind their community community of talented artists and every original song they create, over 300,000 of them. This Valentine's Day, put your heart on the line with a studio-quality song that's totally unique to your relationship. It only takes 4 to 7 days, but the song will last forever. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song on Spotify for free so you can listen to your new favorite song anywhere you go. Go to songfinch.com. That's songfinch.com/POA and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free. That's a $50 value. This offer is only available for our listeners at our special URL, songfinch.com/POA. That's songfinch.com/POA. Don't wait, y'all. Get started now. And by the way, share your songs with us. Skew.
What's up, Airheads? How you doing? Welcome back. It's time for another stirring rendition of Putting on Airs. You can see it's a little different. I'm not in the Airstream studios, virtual or otherwise. I'm coming to you from the ivory tower confines of the Hilton Garden Inn in Ybor City, Tampa, Florida. Ybor City's a fun place, Joe. We've been here before. It's kind of, I don't know how much people know about Ybor and other parts of the country. It's like, it's kind of got a little bit of a slightly New Orleans-y type vibe. It's like a,
yeah, I saw you know, post the chicken picture.
Yeah. They got chickens running around town. And they holler too, like chicken hens, yeah, and roosters. And the roosters, you could, every now and then you'll just hear a rooster, you know, cock-a-doodle dizzy. And, it's weird. I looked it up one time I came here. It's like, I don't know. They somehow got chickens years ago, and then they got proud of their chickens. We're like, yeah, we got chickens now. Chickens is our thing. And now there's like, it's illegal to fuck with the chickens. So the chickens just kind of got free reign of the city down here. The last time I was here, I was walking back from my show about 10:30 at night, and I was walking through a parking garage, right, in that connected to the lobby of the hotel I was in. And I hear a voice from over the shoulder. I think I'm alone in there. And then I hear a voice go, hey, man, like that, you know? And so I was like, I was like, nope. I just keep going straight towards the elevator. Cause you know, I'm still like part meemaw. I'm still, part of me is,
yeah, you heard a black
terrified
guy and you were like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Just anytime I'm in a city, right?
Like, no, I know.
If I'm in a city at nighttime, I am kind of scared, right? Like I always am. And especially, so, and I don't think I'm going to be assaulted. I think that, like, I'm about to be pestered. Do you know what I mean? For money, I'm about to be panhandled or whatever, something like that.
And you're a horrible liar. So,
yeah, right.
You would end up saying, hey, I don't have any cash. And he's like, well, I got Venmo. And then you would end up giving him $5,000.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm just like, nope, I'm just not going to acknowledge it. Head down, head to the door. I can see the door. It's not that far away. And he's like, hey, man. And then I hear footsteps, rapidly increasing footsteps. And I'm like,
not good.
Oh, no. But I still just ignore it. Like, that's going to somehow solve the problem. Like, I don't even look to see if I'm about to be pounced on. Right. I guess in my head, I'm like, if I am, I guess it's just going to happen. You know,
right. May as well not tense up.
Right. I'm not going to acknowledge this reality. And I hear the footsteps close on me. This guy's like, hey, man, hey. And he comes up, he puts his hand on my shoulder. He's like, hey, man. And I turn, and finally, I was like, yeah, you know, like that. And he goes, you know what's up with all these motherfucking chickens running around?
Very important to him.
Yeah. He just really, really, you know, because I mean, I get it. You get there and you wonder what is up with all these motherfucking chickens running around.
Right.
But he thought I'd have the answer, I guess.
We've been to Ybor City several times, and I love it. And I agree with you that there's like sort of a New Orleans fit. Like it's like if you think I'm gonna go to Ybor City and have a couple drinks, you're lying. You're an idiot because it's one of those towns that kind of pulls it out of you. But like I've never thought about this until now. But like, do their streets just stay littered with dead chickens that have gotten hit by the fucking Ferraris that run down there? Because like we have deer in our streets, you know.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I can say that I've seen a whole bunch of live chickens in the street, but I've not yet to see a chicken carcass in the street. So they may have a whole dedicated chicken department in the city of Ybor, the municipal department. You get assigned a chicken duty.
You see them, you scoop them.
You see them, you scoop them. Maybe the whole town has a you see them, you scoop them like communal policy or something. You know, I don't know. But
and they just take it to the closest point. Restaurant and boom, soup.
Yeah. Yeah, they also, Ybor City was founded originally as like a cigar rolling area.
It's got a Cuban feel to it.
It does. It is Cuban-y still, and they still have cigar shops you can walk by with like little cute, like remember we went with that hidden Italian restaurant we go to in DC.
Pasta
that's
Mama.
Got the Pasta Mama, that's got the old Italian nana in the window, yeah, just rolling pasta all day.
Yeah.
They got that, but with Cuban mamas and cigars. Like they're sitting in the window, you walk by and you just see them sitting there just rolling cigars all day.
Fiona Castro. I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But anyway, we fucked everything up schedule-wise this year. I mean, I've just been traveling. I've been in Florida, and this is the only real window of time I had to do it. But it kind of conflicted with Cho's time because he's going to be on Doug Loves Movies, and he has that going on. So I've only really got like 45 minutes, and the timer has already started, and then Cho's going to figure out something
but
else.
But don't you worry.
For the rest of it, I reckon.
Don't you worry, because I have several things planned to round out this episode, and dare I say, it may be the best one yet. You might find that we don't need Trey. That's not true. We do need you, buddy. Please never leave.
Yeah. Is it going to involve going in on me or something?
No, I've never actually done that. That's y'all's thing. That's you and Drew's thing. Whenever I'm absent from the podcast.
Yeah, well, we also do it to Drew, and yes, me and Drew do it to you. So I just saw.
Yeah, but me and Drew don't do it to you though. Whenever you leave,
well, that as you shouldn't. I mean,
right.
It's a respect thing. You know, I would expect y'all to not do it to me. That's not true.
We do. It's just hierarchy. That you don't listen to them. So I knew I could trick you.
Yeah. I have seen where you take ad reads that I do and put the picture of me looking stupid over it, which is fair game. Because
this will hit for you. That picture, which we've got sent a couple more, but they don't live up at all to that picture. But this will hit for you because it's me trying to hit for myself, but then I didn't hit for myself, which will hit for you. I was going to wear the shirt that Drew got me that has your dumb face on it for this episode as a goof. And, I have fatted myself out of it since December. So
that does hit.
Yeah.
That does hit. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
fatten fat. Yourself out of that's always like the only good thing about it is it's like a barometer of sorts for fat.
Yes, now
do you know
I
what
know.
I mean? It's like yes. that was always my benchmark was always like I've got a range of clothing options and I might fat myself out of the lower end pretty quickly.
Right.
But I always have a few like litmus test shirts, right?
Yeah.
Or pants, whatever that's like. Once I get to that tier, if those get tight, I'm like where it's like my only options are get my shit together or go buy newer, fatter clothes.
Nope.
I patently refuse to purchase new clothes because I have fatted out of my old ones. So I'll walk around in like a too tight shirt while being fat for a while. And that's embarrassing. Don't hit. But I will not buy new clothes. And then that makes me, you know, at least marginally get my shit together. So tell that.
No,
works.
I'm with you. That was a real wake up call because at the house, like I'm solo dadding it. It's a lot of sweatpants and sweatshirts that I've just been rocking around in, you know, and like those give, you can't really ever tell in those. And I went to put that shirt on and I was like, I remember being on stage wearing this shirt and not feeling this bad about myself. So I need to get it under control.
Yeah, the thing I was going to talk about, I want to get to. Well, also, I want to know, like, you were going to talk about movie stuff. Is that right?
With Kirby, yeah.
So you're not even going to get to movie stuff with me? That kind of don't hit for me because I like movie stuff.
I'm saving the good movie thing for you.
Meaning we're going to get to it before I leave, or you're going to do it?
No. Next episode, because we don't have enough time. You know what I mean? The thing that I have for you will have to be next week because I cannot condense how insane this shit is for our time together.
Well, as long as I get to hear it, that hits for me.
You will. I promise.
All right. So the thing I was going to talk about was exploring, adventuring, expeditioning, pioneering. I couldn't decide on the word, but you get it. Sallying forth to parts unknown. But before we get to that, I had a little minor up top thing first. I put this in the dock. Can you see that?
Yeah, I thought I put that in there.
It's so funny how often that has happened. No, this was definitely me. It's funny. Like, apparently, I'll put stuff in the dock. This happened before, if y'all remember, with Benjamin Franklin being in the Swimming Hall of Fame. I put that in the dock, and then I started to bring it up on the show, and Cho lost his mind. He was like, holy shit, I'm talking all about that. How'd you find out about that? Whatever. And I was like, I put it in the dock. And he was like, no, I put that in the dock. I put it so we, and I was like, you definitely did not. That was 100% me. And it's like, so sometimes he just sees stuff in the dock and he's like, that hits. Must have been me. I guess I'll do that this week. But anyway,
I just peruse it a lot.
Well, it's also possible, this one especially, because of course I saw this somewhere on Reddit. It's also possible you just also saw it and maybe we're like, you're not going to put it in the dock. But anyway, so for anybody that's just listening, this ain't going to hit for you, but it says, it's a tweet, a picture. It says, a dress worn by Queen Victoria in her later years. And the picture of the dress is the important part, because Cho, how would you explain to people how this dress looks? I was surprised by it.
I would say that in Queen Victoria's later years, she was a right old homunculus.
Yeah, or like, and this is a bit ass. She got a dumper on her, evidently. But I don't know. This is an old, dated reference, but like, there was this character actress in the 80s who did all these horror movies. Like, I know she was in Poltergeist. She was the little medium lady in Poltergeist who could commune with the dead. She's like a little tiny, like old gypsy mamaw. Mm-hmm. Who was always mystical and stuff and showed up. Anyway, I immediately thought of her when I saw this dress. Like, it's diminutive, yeah. Y'all. There is what appears to be an average-sized woman bent over at the waist tending to this dress, and she's still bent over at the waist. Her head is still 8 inches above the neckline of this dress. I mean, it looks like a regal Lady Oompa Loompa's attire or something.
Was she in a wheelchair?
I mean, I don't know. It says in her later years, she probably wasn't, but you know, because Victoria, dude, Queen Victoria, like of the Victorian era.
Right.
Which is like, I don't know.
She's one of the Victorian goats.
Right. And there's you hear all these trends and stuff, fashion trends and shit. We've talked about them on the show. That started during that era, and a lot of them came from Queen Victoria herself.
Right.
The Victorian era is when I feel like Britain really kind of fancied up. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they really solidified their, we're not
stick
all
up
just
the ass.
Mud fucking peasants anymore. Right. In fact, many of us have a full-time stick up our asses and wear, you know, bowler hats everywhere we go and say, quiet and tut tut at people and stuff like that. Indubitably, that's what they do, right? I feel like the Victorian era was when all that started, right? So I picture Queen Victoria as like
a skinny Marie Antoinette bitch,
Sybil from Downton Abbey or something. Yeah, you know, but as she grew older, like that's what I pictured. So this picture of her dress from her later years just really kind of fucked my head up. But then I looked her up, and like if you look at Queen Victoria's Wikipedia page. Which I will also share right now because I just pulled it up. Let's see here. I can't change it. I guess I have to share a new thing. But like,
please tell me she was built like Snooki.
She just didn't. I mean, again, this is her when she's like older. But you see that picture there? Like,
yeah, that ain't
you know. Like, I mean, you know, a young Kathy Bates could have nailed the role of Queen Victoria. You know what I mean? Like, I was picturing like a Cate Blanchett type.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like. But I guess, and you know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I was just personally very, very shocked by this. I'm sure any of our British listeners find this funny because I'm sure they all are very aware of what she actually looked like. But I found this surprising.
That's the first lady I wanked to.
I mean, look at this portrait right here. It looks like it's of an actual Oompa Loompa or something. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it looks like a mystical caricature or something as opposed to just a royal portrait. That's wild.
Well, you bring up something interesting that I've always wanted to talk to, like, I don't know, the fucking dude who wrote, you know, the book on, like, us as a species, like these people that are, like, really brain smart, I can't talk, that are really knowledgeable about evolution and all that. Because, like, I will hear descriptions of people that talking about these old-timey ladies who are like, she was the fairest lady in the land, the most beautiful, whatever. And then you see a picture of them, and it's like,
yep,
that was y'all's Margot Robbie.
Well, when we talked about, when I covered the Petticoat Affair, that lady who brought down Andrew Jackson's whole cabinet because all of his cabinet members' wives were so insanely jealous of her because of how desirable she was and everything. We pulled up a picture of her, and yeah, she looked like, you know, the bookish girl from my 12th grade class or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, not Margot Robbie, like you said.
And the reason that I bring up evolution instead of, because what the argument, I've brought this up to people before, and their argument is always like, well, yeah, well, now with plastic surgery and makeup and stuff like that. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. It's true that we have had advancements in plastic surgery and in makeup, but I know girls from Chickamauga who ain't had shit done, and I've seen every single one of them without their makeup on. And all of them are absolute stone-cold foxes compared to this picture of who was supposed to be fucking Bathsheba of England. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, we're changing. Our face is changing.
I mean, I think maybe you could argue that we have just been across the board improving, right? Like, not only are people...
Right.
And, maybe now we're starting to slide back the other way. I don't know. But, like... people are also much taller now across the board than they used to be, right? Like back in the day, like, you know, it's like Napoleon was...
Abraham Lincoln was a freak.
Yeah, absolute freak. But like Napoleon's like, was he really tiny? And it's like, actually, no, not really for his day, but he was like, what, 5'6" or something like that? They're like, but that wasn't crazy short for the time.
I actually think he was taller than that. Like it's that was a whole... that was propaganda against him. But either way, he was normal for... yeah.
He was whatever average height was for the day, he was average height is what I'm saying. Like he wasn't whatever the actual height was.
We've got 5'6", you're right.
A lot of that is nutrition and healthcare and all that shit just increasingly getting better. We can grow taller, we live longer, and I guess it kind of stands to reason that also we can be prettier, we can be better looking. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't think that a cabbage and hardtack diet would necessarily make you ugly, but you know what I'm saying. I don't know.
Yeah, I do.
It's all... we've gotten taller, healthier, prettier, and smarter over the course of our, you know, evolution, like you said, or advancement is a better term. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, like me and you aren't... I'm not saying we're unattractive, but me and you ain't no John Hamm and Ryan Gosling. But if you slap me and you... if you take a picture of us and put it next to some of the pictures of the Civil War soldiers from the 1800s, we are Adonises. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, they would be like, how old are you, gents? 14. You know what I mean? Because because by 20 back then, you was haggard and beat all the shit. But we say back then, like, you follow that Twitter account that posts pictures from, like, the 50s and 60s and shit.
It's unreal.
And it's of people that it's like, this man is 28 years old. And then you're like, that is my papaw. Like, how is he 28 years old? Like, it's wild.
And when you see the women,
Kenny Stabler, who I love, huge Kenny Stabler fan, obviously, go Raiders, the Snake. He finished his career out with the New Orleans Saints as a backup. And they've got a picture of him in a Saints uniform with his helmet off. And he looks like latter era Waylon Jennings or something, like pure straight silver hair, big silver beard, like no darkness left in it, just all gray. And they're like, Kenny Stabler, pictured here, 38. And I'm like, that's how old I am. And of course, he lived hard as a motherfucker, and that'll do it too. But
sometimes, you know, in some of those old pictures, you can explain it away with like the style. Like a lot, this happens with women a lot. Like, my mom, if you look at a picture of my mom from the 90s when she was in her early 30s, you put that against a picture of her now, she looks older in the 90s, but it's not. It's because the way that women wore their hair in the 90s was like old mammals. You know what I mean? So now that she looks more modern, but with dudes, we have always stayed kind of like our hair don't change too goddamn much. But men back then, it was the wrinkles in their face at 20. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy. Again, people smoked more. They worked harder. You know, they were out in the sun more. All that shit makes you look older. It's not that it don't
drink
make sense.
Drank whiskey for lunch.
Yeah, it is wild. The drinking stuff, I know we've talked about this before too, but like, you know, for a long, long time, you couldn't safely drink water. So they had to purify water with booze, or conversely, dilute booze way down with water to make the water safe to drink. So like, children were hydrating themselves for their third shift in the fucking dirt mines by drinking ale at 7 a.m. and stuff. And it's like, goddamn, yeah, no wonder nothing hit and they were all fucked up, you know?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Like, it's crazy. But also, like, you know, some people still can't be drinking water. Like, I'm pretty sure that I think even now in Mexico, you know, like the hit, I've only ever been to the hit and beautiful touristy parts of Mexico ever. Of course, I'm a gringo, but they still tell you not to drink the water and stuff there. Like, you know, still to this day, you're supposed to just drink, drink bottled water and shit. So it's like, it's wild that water is like the stuff of life, but it also is apparently real, real hard to make it not kill you when you drink it. Yeah. And even in 2024, huge chunks of the world still can't do that. Like, that's, that shit is wild. Cause it's like, that was put here by fucking the fake Lord or the universe or whatever to like sustain us. Yet in its natural state, almost always it's bad. I guess I say natural state, but like, we are the ones who fuck it up, right? Like, now it's,
that's right.
We pollute it and pollution. Shit. And back in the peasant days, they was just all pooping in the creek and stuff. Yeah, right. Yep. Exactly. So, you know, you can't drink poop. I get that. So
been saying it. So,
but everything poops into water though. You know what I'm saying? Like, can you just drink water that only fish and beavers have pooped in? Do you know what I mean?
I've always wondered that too, because like, you know, I walk in the park all the time, and I be peeing out there, and I always look, make sure that nobody's coming up, and I always go deep into the woods against a tree, not on like a hiking thing, but I live for the day when someone like catches me and tells me I'm disgusting, so that I can try to make my argument of like, deers pee out here. What does it matter? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But like, there has to be some kind of difference between our poop and pee and fish's poop and pee. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to drink fish's poop and pee.
But are we able to drink fish's poop and pee?
I mean, I've drank water out of a spring.
These survivalist shows and stuff, you go camping and shit, you got to boil your water over the campfire. You have to boil it because it'll fuck you up if you don't. And these are in parts of the world where, you know, there ain't people around, really. So that's just fish and deer's poop and pee, but also just why other bacteria. I don't know. I'm too water dumb to know. I'm just saying, well, I reckon it's a bad idea to drink that shit. So
forgive me if I'm wrong, but the Mexican people, they drink the water and they're just used to it, right? It's because it's different. Like, they're all used to it.
So I thought that, but I'm literally basing this off Mark Norman, who I would tell you he's no anthropologist, right? But I like, because I heard him on a podcast talking about, he took a trip to Mexico City, which, again, the New York City of Mexico, right? Very metropolitan. He went down there. He actually ran into Tushar down. That's how I found out about this. Tushar mentioned he ran into Mark Norman on a trip Mexico City. Anyway, so when Tushar said that, because a fan of ours said, hey, Tushar got a shout out from Mark Norman on this podcast because he ran into him, and Tushar was like, yeah, that hit. That was fun. I went and listened to that episode because I wanted to hear what he said about Tushar. While he was telling the story, though, he was talking about Mexico. You couldn't drink the water. He said his old lady drank the water and she got sick as fuck, right? And Sam, his co-host, he said what you just said. He was like, but it's just us, right? Like, we can't drink the water, but they drink their water, right? And he said that he was like, no, I don't think so. He's like, I don't think most of them do. Like, and I don't know where he got. He was like, I think they're mostly drinking. I think it's like, he said he thought it was like a Flint, Michigan situation. You know what I mean?
We're
like,
wow.
You know, like the people in Flint, they're not. It ain't like they can, and I know they are us. The people in Flint are us. Right. They're also Americans, but I have no idea.
They don't seem to get treated like Americans.
Right. Yeah. So in that way, they're like Mexicans, but,
right.
Yeah. I have no idea at all if that is the case or not. Cause I also thought that what you just said, but according to him, that's not the case, but you know, he could have that wrong easily. I don't know, but
well then goddamn, that don't hit.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors, isn't it?
Hey, y'all, cheers to the new year from our friends at Manscaped, because your resolutions shouldn't be the only things that are well kept. 2024 is the time for new heights, new opportunities, and new look for your Times Square balls. Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is every man's cheat code to look good, feel good, and turn the page on confidence this year. Whether you're looking to maintain a trim or go for that clean shaven look like your boy, this trimmer has you covered. Trusted by over 10 million men worldwide, now is the time to get a grip on your grooming with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com, use the code POA for 20% off plus free shipping. Happy New Year or happy new balls. Trey, let me ask you, what was the highlight of your 2023? Oh, that's right, Trey's not here, but I assume that if he was, he would say that it was spending quality time with his best friend and his favorite podcast partner, me, on this podcast, putting on airs. You know, one of my old New Year's resolutions was that, hey, Corey, you need to groom your head more because you're bald, and so if you let it go, you start looking like one of the Three Stooges, but I would always get, oh, I've got to, I don't have time, blah, 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 blah. Well, thankfully, by the way, I don't ever have to make that New Year's resolution again because my friends at Manscaped make it so much easier for myself to keep trim, and they can help you too. By the way, we're introducing the MVP of 2024, Manscaped's fifth generation lawnmower. It's not just a trimmer, it's your grooming sidekick. It's equipped with two skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It's like having a personal stylist at your fingertips, or, well, you know, wherever you need it. And did we mention it's waterproof? Because it is. A trim in the shower is the only way to start the day. And for my men that want the full grooming experience, look no further than Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0. In this grooming kit, you get the trusted lawnmower, Manscaped's ear and nose hair trimmer, and essential aftercare products with the Crop Soother Ball Aftershave, which y'all know is my favorite thing, the lotion, the Crop Preserver, the anti chafe and ball deodorant. Yeah, it's deodorant for your balls. Bet you didn't think you needed that, unless you've heard me talk about how much you need that, because you do. As a gesture for the new year, they even threw in two free gifts, the Boxers 2.0, not the 1.0, that's for the birds, and the Shed 2.0 toiletry bag, because they know good and well you're still rocking your boxers from high school, you know, the ones with the holes in it. Let's face it, resolutions might come and go, but a well-groomed you is here to stay. Thanks to Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code POA at manscaped.com, because nothing says Happy New Year like a deal that leaves your balls and your budget feeling refreshed. Embrace a new you, and definitely embrace a new trimmer, courtesy of Manscaped.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you know, the untamed
drinking
wilds,
poop water.
The untamed wilds and drinking poop water outside of our own borders. I got to thinking about exploring earlier. It wasn't just earlier. I thought about this a lot, actually. I did an episode before about like treasure hunting, about how like people used to just be dedicated treasure hunters. And does that still exist? And I looked it up for that episode. And there are some people that do still be hunting treasure. In a similar vein, I was thinking about like explorer, like used to explorer was like a job. And it's not just that it was a job, like you really did be exploring. Like it's wild for us in the modern day, I think, to consider the fact that like people used to have no idea,
right,
what was on the rest of this planet.
Right.
Like people used to like set out on expeditions. They'd get the king to give them money because he was like, hey, he'd like hold up a map or something. He's like, you see right there? And it's just all blank or whatever. He's like, here's China, here's China, here's us. You see that? What the fuck is that? And the king was like, damn, what the fuck is that? Right? And he's like, well, I'd like to go figure out what that is. And the king was like, here's a bunch of gold and, you know, and a
cinnamon.
And a schooner, not a schooner, what, a galleon? A galleon, that's gold. That's gold too, isn't it? A gold galleon. What's the...
That's in Harry Potter. At least.
There's a big ass ship that starts with a G, I think. Maybe it is a galleon.
Gallipoli?
Galleon. No, it's a galleon.
Yeah, there you go.
Galleon, a ship. Yeah, galleons were large multi-deck sailing ships. So anyway, yeah, he's like, here's a galleon and a bunch of gold. Go see what that is. Right? And they would go over there having no idea what that was. You know, and think about like coming from like, and look, I know, don't get me wrong. They also went over there and killed all the natives and their gods and stole all the shit and all that. And that don't hit. I'm not in favor of that. I'm just saying, thinking about it from those guys' perspective, like imagine leaving what was at the time a modern European city,
right,
in Spain or whatever, and then winding up in the Amazon, dog.
Yeah.
Like the fucking Amazon rainforest, and how, like, that shit had to feel like a literal different planet, right?
Yeah.
And like, and I've just always been so fascinated by that because you can't do that no more. You know what I mean?
No.
Like we've been to all the places now, except for the deepest reaches of the ocean, right? Which I'm fascinated by. And there's people now, like modern day explorers, a lot of them are dedicated to that. You know, modern day explorers, a lot of them are the people that go down in, deep sea submersibles that are not piloted by PlayStation 2 controllers and thus do not explode and die at the bottom of the sea. But, because I feel like that's a part of human nature to like want to know,
discover and find.
To want to know what's out there. And, you know, there's a thing on the internet. It's like, you know, our generation, we were born too late to explore the globe and too early to explore the stars.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it goes, but born just in time to get spicy hot memes. Right. And that's what, that's what we
so
get
true.
To explore. But, yeah.
I like the memes. Yeah. The memes hit. Now, here's the thing. We as a species, like we've like collectively everything on Earth has been discovered. But it is nice that like, and just on a micro level, like this is something that really excites me is like I live in the Chickamauga battlefield. The battlefield is huge, dude. It is absolutely insane. And there are so many different trails that even though I walk there every day, I still once a week at least will see some shit that I've never seen. And like the thrill that I get of that is amazing. I genuinely can't imagine being like finding something that no one had seen and there's plantains there. You know what I mean? And I've never heard of that. What the fuck is this? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, right. And they thought, you know, and I mean, in retrospect, this seems wild and ridiculous, but at the time they'd hear from other explorers and stuff, they'd hear rumors of things like a city made entirely of gold, right? They're being like, basically like Wakanda,
Atlantis,
but over there, right? You know what I mean? Atlantis and stuff. And it's like, they were like, we ought to go find that and steal it all, right? And turn them into us.
Kill everyone there.
And it's like, and most of them got skint and boiled or whatever in the process and it didn't hit. But, you know, you'll have that. But, like, I get the allure or whatever. We were talking earlier about Napoleon and propaganda, about him being short.
Yeah.
I found out earlier in reading about this shit, you know, Ponce de Leon, who was one of the first Spaniards, maybe the first Spaniard to come down here where I'm at, to Florida, to come to Florida and see what is that. Everybody says, I remember learning in school, everybody says that Ponce de Leon was looking for the Fountain of Youth in Florida. Yeah. That's what he was looking for, was the Fountain of Youth. And that got turned into a whole thing, just like, you know, Ark of the Covenant and all that type of shit, like a mythical, you know, ultimate treasure. And that this guy was looking for it in Florida and, of course, never found it. Well, I found out earlier today that also wasn't true. That also was propaganda started by people. He was just here doing the regular go kill them, take all their gold and turn them into us thing that they were all doing. Like, same thing they were all doing. But what's funny about that to me is, like, the people, so he his enemies and stuff after he died and shit, just like with Napoleon, like trying to discredit him, make him look bad, they were like, let's tell people this dumb motherfucker was over there thinking he could live forever if he drank from a fucking, you know, spring in the jungle.
So he was dead when they were saying this?
I think so. Or at least, so funny. I don't, but either way, what's funny about that to me is, like, even we think of them as being so stupid. I have a bit in my act right now about how stupid people used to be. It's like, but in this case, it's like his contemporaries at the time were like, if we tell everybody this, they'll think it's the most R-worded shit they've ever heard of. And this guy was an abject dumbass. When in reality, we, like, people were like, it became a mythical pursuit. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody thought of him as being like, what a fucking dipshit. People were just, but I think it is also because we're like, well, they were so stupid back then that he believed that. You know what I mean?
Right, of course. Like, even their smartest people believed in witchcraft.
Were dumb enough to believe in, yeah, exactly. So it's like, I don't think it worked. Like, I don't think people learned that and were like, what a fucking loser Ponce de Leon was. Do you know what I mean? Like,
they were like, what a romantic.
Yeah, exactly. And that's funny to me because I didn't know that.
Of all the places in America the Fountain of Youth would be, I don't think it'd be Florida. That's me personally.
No, but it does seem to indicate that a lot of people still think it's down here because, you know, every ancient Jew from the Northeast moves to Florida. Buys a sweet car, gets some snakeskin boots and shit, starts acting like he's 30 again. So, you know, maybe in a way down here. You know what I'm saying?
And dude, everyone's 21 in Tampa, you know, like that's
right.
Hell yeah. Never mind.
So, but I just think we don't appreciate, or I mean, no, we do, but like, these motherfuckers, it's not just, I get the allure of finding out what's out there, whatever, but also like, just, you very likely was gonna die. You know what I mean? Like,
almost 90%.
And so many of them did die. Right. We're talking about these like cities of gold and stuff. There was a real dude, Percy Hawthorne, I think was a Percy something.
Mm-hmm.
You watch that. You see that movie, The Lost City of Z or The Lost City of Zed?
Starring, with Homie from Sons of Anarchy.
Charlie Huffman. Hunnam and Robert Pattinson. Pretty good movie. It's like, it's a little slow, but it's well made. It's a good movie. But that's a real story about a real dude who went to the jungle repeatedly trying to find this like lost city filled with treasure and all this shit. And he made multiple expeditions and survived most of them. Then he had an adult son, took his adult son with him, and was like, this is the one, and never came back. And they still to this day don't know what happened to him. The nice tribes, I don't know why I'm doing this. I guess they were pretty cool. The cool tribes in the area like said that they heard that they got, again, you know, skint and boiled by the not as nice tribes of the area, but they've never figured out what they did. And also, like, what about the Terror, the HMS Terror? Have you ever heard of that boat? There was a book and a TV show about it. The TV show stars Jared Harris and Kieran Hines, the Mance Rayder, you know, from Game of Thrones, that dude.
Yeah.
He was also Julius Caesar in the show.
Caesar.
He's that guy and Jared Harris, a bunch of other people, they made a show about, and it's a fictionalized account. But anyway, the HMS Terror was, there was two boats, the Terror and the Erebus. both of which are like kind of metal names. You know what I mean?
Say
which
them again.
I don't know that. Terror, right?
Yeah.
And Erebus, like the that's Cerebus. The dog that guards the gates of hell is Cerebus, not Erebus. What the fuck is Erebus?
Erebus is a porn genre.
I was thinking of Erebus. I was thinking of Cerebus. So Erebus is Greek for shadow or darkness. So basically
that's metal.
The shadow and the terror.
Yeah.
I feel like those are odd names to pick for a ship that you hope you will not perish on, right? But like,
yeah.
But they went with that. But anyway, and they did die. They were trying. That's it. The Northwest Passage. So many expeditions were trying to find the fabled Northwest Passage, which was like, you know, here's the globe, right? Here's Asia. Here's America and Europe and stuff. To go from Europe to Asia, you had to go all the way to fuck around here, right? But they were like, what if we just went up top like this? What if we just went over the top of the globe? And that became called the Northwest Passage. And so many expeditions were trying to find the Northwest Passage, and they found that that's actually a whole bunch of ice and shit up there.
Yeah.
And so most of them, you know, died, ice and polar bears and stuff. I read earlier, the Northwest Passage is 100% real thing now, and it's also gotten easier today. It's easier now to make that trek because we have melted so much of that ice on the top of the earth.
Good for us.
With our smoke and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But
trucks hit, though.
There's only 6 minutes left. So, switching to modern day, I was thinking, like, does this still exist at all? Like, again, we've been all around the country, all around the world. Like, is this even still a thing? And it kind of does. There's like a handful of people out there doing it. Now, some of them I don't really count because a lot of the people I found that claim to be this are like travel bloggers, right?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Like me and you.
And I don't. Yeah. But we're comedians who did that. These are like, you know, white British chicks who are like, I went skiing with a Nepalese guy without any, you know, money or phones or whatever, like that type of shit. And then they write a blog
just with
about
my titties in a dream.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, but, but there's some like head to toe legit actual explorers out there. I found out apparently the most famous explorer in the current explorer game, which just tells you how exploring is doing as an industry, because back then, dude, I feel like Christopher Columbus and Magellan and them, I feel like they were like famous in the time.
Yeah,
maybe
of course.
They weren't, but I felt people, you're right. Well, today, from what I found, the guy who's universally considered the hittest current day explorer is a guy named Mike Horn. Mike Horn, who's from South Africa. And so today what they do instead is he has to find versions of things people have never done. Like he was the first guy to ever navigate the entire Amazon River on an unmotorized boat, right? So he's on like basically like a tiny little kayak. And Amazon River is like 4,500 miles long. So not taking anything away from the guy. And right now, he's on a pole-to-pole expedition. He's going from the North Pole to the South Pole and then back again, I think. That's what he's doing
right now.
In what vehicle? And so that's the thing. He gets sponsored. There's parts of that trip that take him over land. For those parts, Mercedes is giving this guy a G-Class to do that with.
Nice.
Right? And then there's parts that are in boats and shit, and he gets sponsored boats and all this stuff. And like, so he's, you know, he's not really doing any uncharted territory, but he's still exploring for a living, which I think is pretty wild. And I tried so hard to find out, like, how do you get into the exploring game, right? Like, how does that happen?
And you get one of those one-eyed binocular things.
Well, that's the first step. But I always just assumed that, like, I always assumed the answer to that question at the end of the day was, like, have a rich papaw and be bored, right? And kind
of
also want to die. Right. But
or be poor and have nothing better to do.
Well, so this guy, I found out he's from South Africa. And I found out at one point I read in his early 20s, not making this up, he made millions of dollars selling cabbage. He got in on the cabbage game. I know.
What?
Tell me about it. I know. He figured out a way to bring cabbage to South Africa in the off season or something. He was like the cabbage king of South Africa. I don't know. But he made millions of dollars. And I was like, okay, there you go. Because in my head, it's like, you got to have millions of dollars to begin with to be a fucking explorer. But according to his story, he made millions of dollars, became disillusioned with the whole rat race and all this shit, gave it all away.
Idiot.
Bought one plane ticket, kept no money after the plane ticket, flew to Switzerland where there's mountains and shit, and started exploring stuff with nothing but an onion on his belt or whatever. And now he's like, now he's the most famous explorer in the world, which again, still most people don't know, but like he's had a hitting career as being a modern day explorer. So I thought that was pretty wild. You've barely said anything and I feel bad, but
we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Y'all, between touring and writing jokes and doing the podcast and making the stupid videos, I know it seems like all fun, and it is, but my brain can be a little bit fried, and I've always wanted a safe way to chill and relax other than the things I used to do to chill and relax that weren't so safe, and I wanted a THC that could do that for me, but wouldn't send me, you know, completely to the moon, because I also wanted to be creative and focused and perhaps have a little energy. And I have finally found that with our good friends at Mood, because Mood is known for their federally legal THC. Now they're adding their most potent product yet to the lineup, hemp-based THCA flower, the future of legal THC. Try it along with all of Mood's other amazing offerings like gummies, that's my favorite, vape cartridges, and more. And for a limited time, Mood is giving our listeners a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just visit hellomood.com and use our code POA. Mood has really been a game changer for me, because I used to rely on like sleeping pills that would make me feel hungover in the morning. But with the Mood, I take a gummy, which that's my favorite way. I think it's because I'm a child and it's candy, to enjoy this product. It is the first time I've had a positive experience with THC. And I think it's just the way to go. So if I sound like you, then you will like Mood. Since THCA converts to THC when you heat it, you get access to that classic marijuana high, you know, that high school stuff before they started putting it in a fish tank and screwed my brain up. And Mood has 10 high inducing strains, the most potent they've ever offered. Mood puts an end to the guessing games with federally legal forms of THC extracted from hemp plants. All of their products are regularly third-party tested, that's very important, in Drug Enforcement Agency registered labs. They're sourced from small family farms, that's nice, and grown organically. Love that word too. Tested and tailored by in-house experts. Different strains for specific moods, by the way, which is also a great thing, from euphoric to energize, creative to chill, just depending on your mood, because, you know, it's not always one size fits all with these things. A lot of versatile products to go with whatever you're going for. You want to smoke it, you want to have a gummy, you want to vaporize it, hey, do your thing. Great for both beginner and veteran users. Great tasting gummies, classic flower, convenient pre-rolls, and so much more. Try Mood's new THCA flower today, and for 20% off your first order and a free THCA pre-roll, go to hellomood.com and use the promo code POA. That's hellomood.com, promo code POA. Y'all, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, you remember the days when you was always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in the bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra. However, it's in chewable tablets, and it's at a fraction of the cost. They taste good, too. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. That's a wiener joke, everybody. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online. No visit to the doctor's office, no awkward conversation, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package, which, by the way, one of my favorite parts. I don't have to go to the pharmacy to see people I know in my very, very small hometown. Y'all, I've been using Blue Chew for about 5 years. Not all the time, but, you know, just when I want to kick it into high gear, you know what I'm saying? When it's a par five and I'm trying to bring out the big dog because I'm going for it in two, you understand? Does it work? Yeah, it does. It works. And, you know, here's the deal. Even if you're like, I'm kind of on the fence about this, you can try it for free for a month and see that you're going to love it. All right? Again, take my word for it, or hell, take my wife's word for it. Holler at her. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your new options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free, absolutely free, when you use our promo code POA at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code POA to receive your first month absolutely free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Wainers.
Yeah. All right. We're back. To y'all, this seems instantaneous, but for us, we just took an hour off while Cho went and wrecked shit on Doug Loves Movies again. I guess maybe that might be a spoiler. I don't know how much his
That's
lead
all right.
time is, but yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And I Cho was the returning again, champ, so I held the belt.
Right. So you've won two now?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I think you're about to catch up with me. I'm pretty sure I've won three, I think. I won one in person and won two remotes. I think. Pretty sure that's right. So, yeah, you're going to overtake me soon.
Yeah, who knows?
All right. So, look, like I said, all the shit about exploring, you know, I was kind of speed running through it. So, I don't know. You barely talked at all, so I just want to know what you think about exploring. You think you'd hit it exploring? Would you like to be an explorer? I don't think I would, on account of all the dysentery and death and stuff in the classical sense. But also, they're just cold a lot, and it just seemed to not hit for me. But I don't know what you think.
Well, you mentioned up top, and I did have something to say about this. You mentioned you were like, man, you know, these guys go out there like knowing that there's a good chance they're going to die, you know? And like, now that most of the globe, I mean, all of the globe has been charted, and there is still part of me that thinks like, I don't know, there might be one little spot that we ain't seen. Who fucking knows? But like, there were so many times when I was blackout drunk back in my teenage days that I almost died to get some pussy, you know, like mm-hmm. knowing that it could happen. So I could imagine if you take same young me with all the hormones and the stupidity, and you were like, it might be a whole city worth of gold, then, or like, depending on like your financial situation, like if you're going, listen, my daddy, you know, plucked a goose and died in the mud. His daddy before him plucked a goose and died in the mud. And that's all I'm ever going to be, unless I find the lost city of Atlantis, the fountain of youth, or the city of gold. I don't know. I might hit at that. I wouldn't hit at it, but I'd try.
Yeah, well, there's some other dudes I didn't mention earlier who are modern day explorers, and apparently they've had a like 12 season show on History Channel about this, which I'd never heard of, but you
What's
know, it's been running for a long time. The Curse of Oak Island. So
never heard Oak of it.
Oak Island off Nova Scotia in Canada. There's a long-standing story about there being buried treasure on that island, right? But it's supposed to be cursed, right?
Right.
And
of course it is.
And right, yeah. Why even bury your treasure if you ain't gonna curse it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that don't even make no sense. So yeah, some old-timey privateer or sailor man named Captain Kidd reportedly buried a bunch of treasure on that island, and people have been trying to find it ever since. That was he supposedly did that in like the 1700s, I think, late 1700s, and people have been looking for it ever since. There's been all these different companies that come in, people set up shop and look for it. It's on an island. It's not under the ocean. It's on an island. It's supposed to be buried somewhere, like literal buried treasure. And so people come in and they dig these holes, they excavate and shit. And every now, what's wild is like every now and then they'll be digging down and they'll find like 50 feet under the dirt, they'll find like a layer of like metal or like a wooden platform or something like that. You know what I mean? Something that ought not be there. It ain't treasure,
right,
but it don't make sense that it's there. So that, and then that makes them think like, okay, It is treasure, right? So they keep looking. Nobody's ever found it. The curse states, Cho, the curse states that seven people will die before the treasure is ever found. And to date, over 200 years, the people are looking for it. Six people have died in the search for this treasure. So there's a current outfit up there looking for this treasure. And like I said, they got their own show on History Channel. It's been going for 12 years. They ain't found shit. You know, I don't know what people keep tuning in for. And none of them have died yet. But it's two guys, apparently, two main guys. And I have to wonder if, like, those two guys are both looking at each other like, I need this motherfucker to die. You know what I mean? Like, if this dude dies, then it's my turn. That would actually be kind of a cool, at least an idea for a short film or something. You set that
them
up.
Fight to the death.
These two friends, they turn on each other and they try to, like, you know, they each try to secretly murder the other one because they think it's going to make the prophecy come true or whatever. But yeah, it's a real thing, apparently. Nobody's figured it out.
That would hit as a short film. Now, Trey, I think I know the answer, but the reason that buried treasure would even exist is like a pirate has all this shit and he's like, ooh, I can't take it with me right now, so I'm going to put it here. And then they go off and get scurvy and die, right?
Yeah. Yes. Some version of that. Yeah. They're like shipwrecked or something. Their ship ain't seaworthy no more. They got all this gold, so they bury it and then go try to find passage on somebody else's ship so they can go get their own ship and come back for it later or whatever, that type of thing. And then it don't work out like that. I think most of it is not buried treasure. I think most of it is just like shipwrecks. You know what I mean? Like all these modern day treasure hunters that I covered in the earlier episode, they're looking for, reportedly wrecked Spanish galleons or whatever that went down with, in today's numbers, $1 billion worth of gold or whatever, somewhere off the coast of Jamaica or some shit like that. You know, that's normally what they're doing.
That's the type of shit that, like, you know, I know, you know, like the Atlantis is bullshit, Fountain of Youth is bullshit, most buried treasure stories are bullshit, but it's like, these are the things I want them to be true so bad. Like, we just recently rewatched National Treasure with Nicolas Cage, who is a national treasure.
I've been meaning to do that lately because actually my sons, even at like 4 and 5 years old, those movies hit for my sons, but I know now they probably don't remember it, right? So I've actually been meaning to rewatch those movies with them lately because those movies are great. I love those movies.
They're awesome. And I want that shit to be true so bad. Like, I want that whole Masonic code to be like a real thing. It's just that, like, you know, the world is so much more boring than people give it credit for. We want these exciting things to be, but like, realistically, it's like, no, none of that shit happens. Like, Ben Franklin, you can't look through his spectacles and see a map.
Yeah, because that would hit too hard. If you're into that, I mean, this was a global, worldwide cultural phenomenon. But like, have you ever read the Dan Brown books, or even seen the movies with Tom Hanks? You know, the Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons.
I saw the first Da Vinci Code, and I've actually been meaning to rewatch it because when I first saw it, it was Tom Hanks looked so weird in it that it bothered me and it made the whole movie kind of not hit for me. And Paul Bettany's in that too, right? Don't he get whooped?
I think that's Angels and Demons, but I could be wrong. He's definitely in one of them and he don't just get whooped. He whoops himself. He self-flagellates, and that's straight from the book, by the way.
I have the books. I own the books, but I've never read them.
If you like National Treasure and you desperately want that type of thing to be real, you're really into that type of thing, they're like pulpy page turners. They're not critically respected. People are like, this is fucking this is airport garbage or whatever. But like, if you're into that type of thing, you should totally read those books because I promise you they will hit for you because it's nothing.
Did the movies hit for you?
That shit. Yeah. They were pretty good. I've wondered if it's kind of like Harry Potter. Like I've told you before, like, when the Harry Potter movies were coming out, I was in the middle of reading the book. Like, the movie started coming out before the book series was finished, right? So, like, I was reading the books were fresh on my mind. I went into the movies, and I remember I didn't really like most of the Harry Potter movies. Because I was like, oh, this don't really hit. Recently, my son's been reading Harry Potter, so we've rewatched the Harry Potter movies. I haven't read the books in over 10 years, in like 15 years. And now watching the movies, I'm like, these are fucking great. This is awesome. So it was the same kind of thing with the Dan Brown movies, a similar situation. I've wondered if I went back and rewatched the movies now, it being years and years since I read the books, they might hit for me harder. But I didn't think they were bad, even at the time. But
well, yeah, you know, reverse happened to me with Harry Potter, whereas those are some of my favorite movies for so long. I never thought I'd be into them, but as it goes with a lot of Southern men, I started dating a woman and she was into that shit. And it was right when, you know, Deathly Hallows was coming out. So I was like, well, I'm not going to be a dickhead. So I started watching with her and I was like, it was one of those moments where I was like, you've deprived yourself of something that hit so hard for so many years just because, like, you thought it was, I don't know, for kids, which is it rich coming from me. But like, I watched right. the movies and loved them. And then over the pandemic and up until now, I've read all the books and they are just fucking flames start to finish. Mm-hmm. They get better mm-hmm. with all of them, in my opinion. And then as I was reading them, I would rewatch the movie between books and I was like, oh man, these movies don't hit right. for me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
Because like the whole time I'm just sitting there going like, wait a minute, why the fuck, you're Hollywood, you love this type of shit, you're not even going to do the arc with where Hermione is fighting for elf rights like they're slaves? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, but you just can't. That's the thing.
You can't. That's why I'm pumped about the series.
Well, that's why the first few seasons of Game of Thrones hit so hard, is because the first few seasons right. are based on books, but instead of 1 2-hour movie per book, it was 1 10-hour season of television
exactly.
per book. And even if you read those books, even then there's plenty Agreed. Of shit they leave out. But like, you just can't, adequately adapt a book, in a good hitting book, in 1 2-hour movie. You just can't do it. Having said that, again, if you haven't read the books or you haven't read them in a long time, the Harry Potter movies are fucking great. They did a good job. But yeah, you just can't do it, man. It's impossible.
I agree.
There's shit you have to leave out.
I know that, but it's just some to me, it's like, don't choose that to leave out. But also, like, the thing that blew my mind the most that they left out was, and I can't remember his name now, but who's the little fucking flying goblin that just farts on everybody and makes their lives not hit?
See, I don't even remember. In Harry Potter, there's a flying goblin that farts on everybody and makes their lives not hit. See, I can't
that he farts, but he's a trickster. You know what I mean? He's one of them guys. He's a little trickster ghost that hangs out. And I read that they actually had this comedian from England who was like supposed to play him in the movie. And then they had some stupid back and forth and he dropped out and was like, fuck this. He decided I'm not doing this bullshit. And so they just were like, we're not doing that character in this. And it's so funny. I've like heard interviews of him where he's just talking about like, yeah, I don't regret it at all. That was a stupid fucking thing. And it's like, dog, you know what I mean? Like, you would have been merchandise. I'm not saying that he don't,
he's like the British comedian that shows up in everything, I feel like. That's why I guessed him.
I'm not saying he don't hit at all, but what I'm saying is that nobody hardly hits to the level of I'm glad I turned down Harry Potter, you know what I'm saying?
Right. yeah for sure.
Well, you look all dolled up.
I change clothes because as soon as we push stop here, I'm walking out the door and walking over to the Tampa Improv, which is actually not the Improv anymore. It's now the Funny Bone, I guess. Funny Bone expanding, snatching them up.
That's right.
I suppose. And I like the Improvs and the Funny Bone, so it's fine with me. But yeah, so I got to go do that here in a second. But can you give me, if you don't want to, it's fine. Because if you think it's better, because you don't want to encourage people to go look shit up or whatever. But I've kind of got some suspense going for what it is you're saving for me next week. Can you give me like a teaser or something for what you're going to be talking about?
Nope.
I understand.
I hadn't figured it out yet. We got so much shit going on in the house. It's so raven with like me and you getting our schedules overlapped and everything. And I was gonna have Kirby come over because everybody loves Lady Kirby, and I was like, boom, we're good, we're in. And as I decided that, between our recordings, I walked downstairs and my wife is literally laying in the kitchen floor with a bucket beside her in case she pukes. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I'm like, Kirby, you probably don't want to come over here. So I'm going to make it hit.
Yeah, I know you're going to make it hit. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Stay healthy over there. Don't get all fucked up. I just had a thing that I was going to say to you and now I don't remember it. I apologize. So yeah.
Well, I miss you. Yep. I hope you have a wonderful show. Plug where you're going to be next week.
I'm going to be, this comes out Friday. The next shows, I think, are in Indianapolis, St. Louis, Winchester, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. Those are the ones coming up. So go to treycrowder.com. Check it out. Come and see me. Also on treycrowder.com, you can find a link to me and Cho's book, Round Here and Over Yonder, a comedic travel guide. I've been signing some on this run, Cho. People bringing it to me, having it signed. So it's hitting for people. If you'd prefer it, you could also get the audio version, the audio book on audible.com, which me and this dumbass read in our dumbass fashion, and that is for people too. So think about it.
And now, Professor Cho with some air mail.
Well, y'all, we really screwed the pooch on this episode. I know we mentioned it up top, but me and Trey got our wires crossed with scheduling stuff, which I honestly can't believe that don't happen more. Frankly, you have put in your faith in two of the dumbest idiots on earth to bring you entertainment every week. And we do appreciate you putting your faith in us, but it is folly to do so. And it's really unfortunate because when I found out that we were going to have the scheduling conflict, I was like, hey, don't worry about it. I'm going to bring Lady Kirby back because people have been telling me in the comments, bring Lady Kirby back. She was on her way to our house as me and Trey were recording the episode, only for me to go downstairs and find my wife deathly ill. So we're going to have to put off Lady Kirby. But I wasn't going to let us go a week without doing some air mail because we have some really good ones. So first one here, limericks are back. This is from our friend Mary. Howdy, gents. I have written a couple of limericks that I hope give you a chuckle. I enjoy the show, got to see you in Chicago, and have both books on Audible. Oh, thank you very much, Mary. We appreciate that. I'll keep showing up if you do. We will. Two fellas named Corey and Trey have a podcast called POA. They have heated debates despite being mates, but do squirrels feel love? I say nay. Well, I'm very upset that Trey can't be here to agree with you hardcore and call me an idiot. There once was a part-time funny man whose balls were hung low like a pendulum. But don't roll your eyes when you hear of their size or he'll tell you that he'll tell you that you can go suck them. Your honorary Yankee auntie, Mary. It's true. I have big balls. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on this show, but on Well Read, that is lore. It's the only thing big down there or anywhere. Well, that's not true. My gut is very big right now. Please don't look at it. Okay. This is from, Kim. Kim is a member of Trey's Patreon and also my Substack, patreon.com/TreyCrowder and bonuscorey.com from me. Kim wrote a very long email, but I love her, and we love her for being a subscriber, and it's a good email. So, Kim, the subject line says, scientific follow-up and touristy opportunities. Howdy, Corey and Trey. Thanks, as always, for POA. Never miss it. You didn't mean to rhyme there, Kim, but you did. I'm not sure how many physicians listen in or how many write in, but as the most shameless and boldest of the lot, I feel compelled to comment when there is a medical opportunity. I do realize that y'all are sick of me mentioning my educational and practice status with every fucking email. I send it and it comes across as braggadocious, but it is what it is. And screw it, I'm a doctor. It's pretty much all I've got. Okay, Kim, actually, let me say this, and I wish Trey was here to agree with me, but it hits for us that you do that. We like that. Me and Trey actually have talked about you in our private chats because you mentioned something on my Substack health-wise one time, and I screen because it applied to Trey too. I'm not going to get into the details, and I screenshotted it and sent it to Trey, and he was like, oh shit, that's Kim. She's a doctor. She knows her shit. I'm taking her word as gospel. So, like, no, you are a big deal to us in the Skewniverse and personally. So, as far up your ass as you want to get with the medical stuff, all for it. She continues. Anyway, just a few comments.
We all get vaccinated against diphtheria in infancy. It comes along with the tetanus vaccine. If y'all haven't seen Raising Arizona, first of all, shame on you. Stop what you're doing and go watch it right now. Yeah, I've seen it and every other Coen Brothers movie, and it is amazing. You're correct. You'll remember Frances McDormand's character telling Holly Hunter's character that the baby needs his dip-tet vaccine. I do remember that now. And no, we don't pronounce the H after the P, so diphtheria, okay. There are a lot of those superfluous H's in medical words like aphthous and ophthalmology. Lord, I hope I'm saying those right. Useless. Don't be paying no mind to that H, despite the fact that I am certain I have pretentious colleagues that might try to squeeze in homage to that H by saying, when y'all hear me read, does it sound as stupid coming out of my mouth as it feels in my head when I'm saying it? I paused right there so everyone that watches on YouTube could look at the TV and goes, yes, Corey, as dumb. I'm certain that I have pretentious colleagues that might try to squeeze in homage to that H by saying the P in a breathy way, like those who say the W, like those who like to say the W breathy in words like where and when. Those people suck. Women be crazy. The word hysteria actually derives from the prefix hystero, which comes from the Greek word meaning womb. Think hysterectomy, hysterosalpingogram. I was fine with hysterectomy, but I don't know that other one. And because, well, women be crazy, the term hysteria came from the thought that the womb was traveling all over the body. This was the general understanding for a millennia until they started letting us be doctors and CEOs and shit, and now they have to keep that fucking Neanderthal mentality to themselves. And lastly, as a gastroenterologist, I highly discourage the consumption of toxic metals to maintain intestinal regularity, no matter how economical the circumstance. Talking about poop bullets here. I'm delighted that this practice has been summarily discontinued, especially since it may very well have contributed to Mozart's death among thousands of lesser-known folk throughout the ages. Wow, I did a whole episode on Mozart, and I didn't even get to the part where it might be possible that he got killed by a poop bullet. Shame on me. Shame on you, Professor Cho. Let's see. Oh, if y'all are interested in old weird medical shit, we are. I can't recommend the Pharmacy Museum enough the next time you're in New Orleans, Trey's favorite city. I went there in 1996 during Digestive Disease Week. Yes, it's totally a real thing. And my colleagues and I were especially drawn to their vast collection of butt plugs and anal dilators. Woo-wee. Psyllium powder, 3 grams, shaken thoroughly with 8 ounces of cold water after each meal every day, and your bowels will be regular. You'll be able to set your watch by them. No antimony pill or anal dilator needed. Your pal, Kim, POA groupie, unofficial auntie to Corey and Trey. Weren't those brown butter chocolate chip cookies yummy, Trey? Oh, you suck. I mean, I'm aware that I'm not on tour right now, so you couldn't bring me cookies, but I'll give you my address, Auntie Kim. All right. One more, I believe we have. Oh, yes. This is from longtime caller, our friend Marge. Subject line, looks like work to me. English major, there is no cure. Oh, I see. This is a three-parter. Okay. Oh, yeah. This is a doozy. I love it. One, in the last show, you both observed that some ignorami, plural of ignoramus, I like that, think you have an easy job. I'm just one of many audience members, but I say, hell no. I saw all three well-reads plus Dr. DJ at the Orange Peel in Asheville last May. A cherished memory. When I was reserving tickets online, I looked at your schedule and saw that the show I was planning to attend was your last show for about a month. Then I saw all the preceding dates and locations and thought, damn, this looks like an awful lot of work. This looks an awful lot like work. And when I saw the show, I marveled at how easy and spontaneous you all seem to be. Aww. I met you all after the show and wanted so badly to hang out with you. A, I'm one of who knows how many people who want the same thing. And B, I remembered your schedule and thought, they're getting a month off. They're going to want to go home and put their feet up. Well, that is always true, but we do like hanging out, especially with people like you. Two, as an Englishman, oh, and also appreciate the telling us that our jobs are harder. And again, they are harder than most people think. But like, as I said on the last episode, I ain't a coal miner and I love what I do. And let me take this opportunity real quick to say something because Trey's not here. Trey's not a sappy person. I'm a bit of a sappy person. Just because you don't hear something from Trey doesn't mean that he doesn't feel it. I would like to take this opportunity while he's not here to make fun of me to say that we really do appreciate y'all so much. Not only just sending in the airmail, leaving comments on YouTube, but just simply being here, listening to the show, recommending it to your friends. This is like, it's such a fun thing. And it's unfortunate when a week like this happens and our schedules got screwed up and it seems like we weren't able to give 100% to it. And I apologize. Like, y'all know that's not what we ever want to do, but you know, what are you going to do? Life is life. And now everyone in my house is sick. And by the way, I'm starting to get a headache too. So that's great. But this is something that we really look forward to every week. And yeah, it's something that we would do for free, I guess. Like, but we can't do that anymore with families and jobs and stuff like that. And we've got other things going on in our career. And because y'all listen to the show and you support the sponsors, we're able to keep this show going. And I really couldn't thank you more for that because, you know, as much as we goof around and it really means a lot to me. I love this show and I love y'all, and becoming, you know, kind of friends with y'all through what comments or emails or whatever, or y'all coming out to our shows and talking about how you're airheads. It's really cool. So thank you. Your dedication to this program does not go unnoticed and I love you for it. All right. Let's see. Two, as an English major and survivor of a college drama club, I would also love to sit down and talk about Tennessee Williams. I'm happy to make do with email and will try derisive howls of laughter to keep it short. Truman Capote, who could also be described as a Southern writer, agreed, went on the Dick Cavett Show shortly after Williams' death and said, in effect, "I don't want to be quippy tonight. I want to pay tribute to a great artist who kept writing every day until he died, even though the public was no longer interested in his work. That, to Capote and me, was a special kind of courage." I knew someone who lived in Key West, Florida for a while, one of Williams' hangouts. She said you could see him walking around from time to time, usually wearing a flowered house coat and a shower cap. I don't know what the weather is like in Key West. It's beautiful. But if it is as hot and humid as I suspect it might be, that outfit seems eminently practical. Yeah, it does get hot and humid, but like, it's cool because there's the key lime pie and the fried conch, and it's worth being hot. Three, why the South produces writers. My theory: if Southern writers have families that are anything like my Southern Maryland relatives, St. Mary's County, they used to have no extra money for movies, and TV didn't exist, though they had radio, and the only book in the house was the Bible. Hence, there were two main forms of cheap entertainment. One was sitting on the porch with friends and family telling elaborate lies about fishing, hunting, and supposedly illustrious family backgrounds. My late mother hated the fine old family talk. As a militantly logical child, she always thought, if we are so damn wonderful, why are we so damn poor? Also, if you're going to glorify anything about the Civil War, you had better be good at creative fiction. I'm so with you on that, because me and Trey both, maybe me more so just because our styles are different, but people always told me when I was coming up, and they tell me now, they're like, I like your style of comedy because it feels like I'm just on the porch listening to somebody. I have a very conversational style on stage. And like, that undoubtedly came from sitting on the porch and hanging out with my granny and my family and like my buddies. Like, me and Trey and Drew, like, our bonds were sitting on porches drinking and smoking and writing sketches. So like, I think you got it there. Anyways, exercising one's talent for tall tales was one inexpensive way to amuse oneself and others. The second way, well, my mother had about 40 first cousins. Use your imagination. Keep doing what you do. I love hearing your voices in the background when I annoy the dust. Translation, cleaning house. Yours for the empire, Marjorie J. Birch. Marjorie, I love you so much. Love all of y'all. Thank y'all for being here. Thank you for liking, subscribing, downloading, telling all your friends. Go see Trey on tour. Go to TreyCrowder.com. Get our book Around Here and Over Yonder. I'm at BonusCorey.com. That's my Substack where I do some of my poor attempts at Southern writing, but, you know, some people like it, and I like it too. Oh, and also, if you're on Instagram and you like my videos on Instagram, you can now subscribe to me on Instagram. It's bonus videos every week. I'm doing a new series called Fancy Britches Food Reviews, which is actually sort of POA related. Anyways, I'm having a lot of fun, and thank you all, and sorry about this week. We'll have our shit together next week. All right, talk to y'all later. Here's Lydia Loveless.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cut, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs.